Coaching session 29. Speed. We can't get enough of it. We want faster computers, faster cell phone service, faster Wi-Fi. Patience is a relative thing. We can adjust our expectations based on a single experience. If you're old enough to remember dial-up internet when we had to connect to the web via a modem, then you remember what really slow connections felt like. But once you experienced a higher speed connection, you're ruined. I mean, you couldn't happily go back to dial-up ever again. And if you couldn't afford higher connection, you were utterly dissatisfied with your old service. It's remarkable how quickly we adjust for speed. I mean, it's noticeable when you get on some open stretch of road and you find yourself going 80 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. It doesn't feel like you're going that fast. And so you take some pressure off the gas pedal and slowing your speed back down to 70 miles an hour. And now you feel like you're crawling. 80 didn't seem so fast, but 70 now seems really slow. This makes speed addictive, because now you want to go 80 all the time. And before long, you're dissatisfied with 80, and 90 becomes the new norm, and the process just keeps going until we hit some very uncomfortable limit, or until we get an enormously large speeding ticket. Hopefully, either one of those things will happen before something far deadlier happens. I am a speed freak, not so much in driving, although I do admit that I tend to drive fast when I can. But when it comes to business and problem solving, I'm a speed freak. Speed is an asset if it's used properly. Simplicity. Seems most people long for it, but can't find it. I hear people talk all the time about how they'd love to find a simpler way to live, including getting rid of all the clutter in their life. We're overrun with stuff, doodads, gizmos, gadgets. The sheer volume of electronic clutter in our heap of unused stuff, pretty amazing, really. I got to looking in an old closet. Old cell phones, computers, tablets, I mean, devices that we once thought we couldn't live without. And now there they are. They're just laying dormant in some closet because we can't bring ourselves to throw them away. We feel complexity all around us, and so it's understandable that we long for something simpler. It echoes in our speech. We'll say things like, just cut to the chase. Or, what's the bottom line? Or, give me the gist of it. Because mostly we want to know the overarching thing, the big point. What's the one thing that really matters here? We want you to make it simple for us. And we all want that. Simple is powerful. We can get our head wrapped around it. We can embrace it. We can do something with it. Let me give you an equation. Speed plus simple equals success. Higher human performance. That's the objective of our work as leaders. And today, let's think about speed, because in session 30, in the next session, we'll talk a little bit more about simple. But today, let's focus on the speed part of this equation. Most of the time, we're under some pressure to produce higher results faster. I don't much care about Wall Street and the pressures that are thrust upon Fortune 100 CEOs. I care about you. I care about the pressures that you're under, the pressure to meet payroll again, the pressure to generate more revenues, the pressure to cut costs, the pressures to negotiate a more favorable lease, the pressure to move your warehouse, the pressure to fill a vacancy for a key position, the pressure to write another report by Thursday morning, the pressure to fix a problem that seems to be spiraling out of control, the pressure to get the product out. Sometimes there's just not enough time to sit back and ponder. Most of my clients don't have the luxury of much pondering time, and I'm betting that you can't remember the last time that you had time to just sit quietly at work and think. Phones are ringing, text messages are coming at us like NFL linebackers. Email, well, it just never stops. Hey, do you remember when you actually got off work? You remember that time? Hey, me neither, because now we're working 24/7, 365, because we're plugged in and we are always online. Don't panic. I got some ideas. Well, you knew that I would. When you move faster than you thought possible, you blank. When you move faster than you thought possible, you fill in the blank. What do you want to put in that blank? Some of you want to put, you get more customers. When you move faster than you thought possible, you get more customers. Others want to put, you solve more problems. And still others may want to write, you get to rest for a while. I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and put whatever you want in that blank. Anything. Yep, anything at all. Let your imagination run wild. That's fine. When you move faster than you thought possible, you fill in the blank. I used to have teenage kids. They're grown now, but I still have vivid recall of urging them to do their schoolwork or some other important work. And I would say to them things like, why don't you just go ahead and finish it and get it over with? I've said that at least 10,000 times because it's true. It's right. And it's just one advantage of speed. Speed is positively affected by being proactive. Stalling, delaying, and procrastinating, those are all enemies of speed. And rarely, rarely does stalling, delaying, or procrastinating pay off. And there is a simple explanation why. Most of our decisions and actions are reversible. Most of our decisions and actions are reversible. Okay, think about this. What's the last decision you made that was irreversible? And I'm not talking about some final decision that was the result of morphing countless other decisions. I'm talking a once and done affair. You're faced with a choice, and you make a choice, you make a decision knowing that there's no going back. No possible way to fix it if you get it wrong. Can you remember the last time that happened? Would it surprise you to know that most people can't remember such a decision? Some will even confess that they've never faced such a choice or such a decision at work. Well, Eureka, we are onto something big, really, really big. And if that's true, if it's true that we never or we rarely at work face a decision that cannot be reversed, then what are we waiting for? I'll tell you what we're waiting for. We're waiting to find some comfort zone in making a choice that won't make us look stupid. We're waiting for some reason that likely has to do with our concerns about how we will appear to the staff or the boss or somebody else. Or we're waiting to get it more right. You use the excuse of needing to collect more data. Well, we all use that excuse. And I'm not slamming data collection. It's vital. But we both know that complete data, well, that's just nearly impossible. And we also know how valid the 80-20 rule really is. 80% is good enough. I've operated enough businesses and organizations in my career to know that we can achieve 80% accuracy of data. You can call it information, call it anything that you would require to make a sound decision. I'm calling it data. That we can achieve 80% accuracy of data pretty quickly. In fact, in many situations, I would dare say that we've got 80% accuracy of information at the time the question or the decision-making crossroads first appears. It's right there, instantly available. The time required to fill any portion now of that missing 20%. Okay, the time to do that can be extensive. And that delays our action. Failure. Failure is often lurking in that delay zone. Nothing beats doing whenever we're learning a new skill. We know that. Hey, you want to learn to paint? Start painting. Oh, you want to learn to play an instrument? Bingo, ditto. Start playing. Yeah, sure, you're going to suck at first, but the more you do it, the better you're going to get. Now, that metaphor doesn't quite hold true when we're talking about you making decisions at work, and here's why. You already know how to do a million things related to your work. You're not starting from scratch like you would be if you were learning for the very first time to paint or to play an instrument. No, you've already got a big bag of tricks and skills and resources in your arsenal. So how poor is your first quick decision likely to be? Go ahead. Rate it. Rate what you think your very first quick decision might be in any kind of a decision, just generically speaking. Go ahead, rate it. What might it be? Did you answer anything lower than a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10? I've done this a lot, and most people will say 7. 7 out of 10 for a super fast decision. Okay, that's a 70 for you students out there. Man, well, that's a, what is that, a D? That's awful. No, it's not, because you're not in the classroom. You're in the real world now. And unless you're a surgeon or an airline pilot, 70 is pretty stinking good. It's especially good when you realize that if you took all the time in the world and you got the data as perfect as you could realistically hope to get it, you would likely be able to reach 90. Okay, once again, those 20 basis points, those extra 20 basis points might take you days or weeks or months. Now, here's the reality of the thing. Let's say that you make your first decision very quickly, and let's go with your likely answer of 70% effectiveness or whatever measurement you'd like to use. Pick a term that you prefer maybe other than effectiveness. I'm going with effectiveness. 7. You gave it a 7, 70%. Now let's assume that you realize that your first decision, okay, it wasn't so great after all, and now you want to fix it. You want to course correct. How long is that likely going to take? I mean, are you going to know within hours of your first decision? Days, weeks? I mean, what's it going to take for you to realize that that first decision, okay, wasn't perfect. I can improve on that. How long is that going to take? Okay, now you're facing the second decision. This is the one where you're going to course correct. How long is that going to take? Yeah, sure. It's going to depend on how quickly you notice the poverty of that very first decision. But let's say that it takes a week before you really see clearly that your first decision sucked and it needs to be fixed. And so now how long do you think you're going to take to make your second decision? A day? 2? 3 days? Okay, let's go with 3. And so now it's been 10 days since your first decision. And tack on a few days prior to your first decision being made. And now we're up to, let's call it 12 or 13 days since you were first tasked to make a decision. Okay, stay with me because this is important. So now in 13 days, you've made 2 decisions. Decision 1, you graded at a 70. How high are you going to likely grade decision number 2? If decision number 1 was a 70 and now you see that it's a 70 and you can improve on that and you take a few days to make that decision, now how good is decision number 2? Again, if you're like most, if you're average, you'll likely feel like your second decision is going to be 90, maybe higher. 12 days now to get to a 90. Now, here's the magic of speed. Most people report to me that if they took a week to make the first decision, they don't really think that they could improve the outcome by anything substantial. Most tend to think that if they made a quick decision or if they took a week, it's still probably going to hit somewhere around a 70. Now, naturally, some decisions garner a higher score more quickly than others because not all choices are created equally. Not all problems are created equally. I'm admittedly painting with a broad brush here. However, when people consider their most challenging choices and their most challenging decisions, they confess that they usually have all the information necessary to make a decent decision right up front. Decent decisions tend to be gauged at 70 or higher. You might call these choices good enough. It's good enough. And if that's true, then a week produces a result typically no better than a decision made within a couple of days. And in some cases, leaders report that an almost instant decision can garner a 70. They don't even need to waste 2 days. And so in that case, well, hey, you've saved 2 days minimum, and at most, you've saved an entire week. Now, virtually everybody agrees that a single decision is improved if it can be quickly course-corrected. So perhaps a smarter strategy is to make that first decision as quickly as comfortably possible. Be responsible. Get the information you need to make that first decision just as soon as you can. Then keep your eyes fastened on it. And as soon as you can, make a course-correcting decision, if you need to improve on that first decision. You'll likely have achieved a significantly higher result than if you had delayed the first decision, waiting for a more opportune time. Listen, this is not about making reckless, thoughtless, or impulsive decisions. It's about not getting hung up thinking that in another day, another 2 days, another 3 days, that you're going to be armed with any better ammo with which to fight. Engage the enemy right where you are, because more often than not, the enemy is time.